The Other End of the Line, by Andrea Camilleri, translated by Stephen Sartorelli, and read by Mark Meadows. Chapter 1. They were sitting on Livia's little balcony in Boccadasse, in silence, enjoying the cool evening air. Livia had been in a bad mood all day, as was always the case when Montalbano was about to return home to Vigata. Out of the blue, Livia, who was barefoot, said, "Would you do me a favour and get my slippers? My feet are cold. I guess I'm just getting old." The inspector gawked at her. "Why are you looking at me like that?"
"You're starting to age from the feet up."
"Why, is there a law against that?"
"No, but I thought it was some other body parts that started aging first."
"Shut your filthy mouth," said Livia. Montalbano was startled.
"Why are you talking like that?"
"I'll talk however I feel like talking. Is that okay with you?"
"Anyway, I said nothing filthy. The body parts I was referring to are, I don't know, the eyes, the ears."
"Are you going to get me those slippers or not?"
"Where are they?"
"Where do you think they are? Right beside the bed. The ones that look like cats."
Montalbano got up and headed for the bedroom. Those slippers no doubt kept her feet nice and warm, but he hated them, because they looked like two long-haired white cats with black tails. Naturally, they were nowhere to be seen. Surely they must be under the bed. The inspector crouched down, thinking, "The back. That's another body part that gives you the first warning signs of aging." He reached out and started feeling around with one hand. It came up against a furry slipper, and was about to grab it, when a sharp pain took him by surprise. Jerking his hand back, he noticed he had a deep scratch on the back of it that was bleeding a little. Could there possibly be a real cat under there? But Livia didn't own any cats. So he turned on the lamp on the bedside table, picked it up, and shone its light under the bed to see what it was that had scratched him. He couldn't believe his eyes. One of the two slippers had remained a slipper, but the other one had turned into a cat-cat, and was now glaring at him threateningly, ears pressed against its head and hackles raised. How could this be? He suddenly felt furious, and he got up, put down the lamp, went into the bathroom, opened the medicine chest, and disinfected his scratch with a bit of antiseptic. Moments later, he was back out on the balcony and sat down without a word.
"So, where are my slippers?" asked Livia.
"You can go and get them yourself, if you have the courage."
Glancing at him scornfully, Livia shook her head as if in commiseration, got up and went indoors. Montalbano contemplated the gash on his hand. The blood had clotted, but the scratch was deep. Livia returned, sat down and crossed her legs. On her feet were the slippers.
"Wasn't there a cat under the bed?" asked Montalbano.
"What are you saying?" said Livia. "I've never had a cat in my apartment."
"Then how did I get this scratch?" the inspector asked, showing her his wound.
The only problem was that, to his great surprise, there was nothing on the back of his hand. The skin was perfectly intact. "What scratch? I don't see anything."
Montalbano suddenly leaned down and took off one of her slippers. "My scratch, which your fake slipper gave me," he said angrily, throwing it off the balcony.
At this point, Livia yelled so loudly that... Montalbano woke up.
They weren't in Boccadasse, but in Vigata, and Livia was sleeping like a baby beside him, the morning's faint first light filtering in through the window. Montalbano realized it was going to be a day of libeccio, the southwest wind. The sea was making a lot of noise. He got up and went into the bathroom.
An hour and a half later, Livia joined him in the kitchen, where the inspector had made breakfast for her and a mug of coffee for himself. "So, what's the plan?" asked Livia. "I'll be taking the 3 o'clock bus for Palermo Airport."
"I'm sorry I can't drive you there, but I can't be away from the station for even an hour. You've seen for yourself the kind of situation we're in." "Let's do this. When you're ready, give me a ring, and I'll come and give you a lift to the bus station."
"Okay," said Livia. "But will you keep your promise to come to my place this time? I won't accept any excuses."
"I said I would come, and I'll come."
"With your new suit?" asked Livia.
"All right,"